the Lombardi line as we welcome you in. It's what the kids say, Michael Lombardi, squad goals. I got Ann, we've got Steph back in the seat. We've got you, we've got me, and we're starting a week here on the Lombardi line. What's happening, my man?
Much, Patrick. How are you today? Huh? Everything good out there?
Things are great. Like I said, we got the squad and we've got the Prevalone. We're going to get into it. The Dogs 8-4 ATS. Josh Applebaum joining
Sharpies
in just a bit.
Were barking.
Yes, yeah, they were. Hey, unders 8-4. Hey, but to be fair, here's the one thing we say. We just say, and you talk about it all the time, following that late money, right? Well, the two most heavily bet games, of course, the Bucks, they were 3.5. By the time the game closed, it was 2.5. That's the winner. And then the late one with the 49ers, they were 3.5, closed 2.5. So again, that late money was right.
It was. And I think Jared Goff should be, you know, BetMGM should basically use his face for any time you want to bet in game. When they show him on the camera early in the game, you can have a pretty good handle on whether you want to bet in game or not. Like, seriously, you can just look at Goff's face, feel his body language. Last night, 3 minutes into the game, 4 minutes into the game, he's got that nice player, Cooper Kupp, running wide open. You know, overthrows him by 10 yards. I turned him, no chance. But like, bet this one. This is the 49er game all the way. It had nothing to do with Prevalone. It had everything to do with Goff last night. Like, and I think he's the perfect guy to bet in game. Just bet him. If you see him not doing well early, it ain't going to turn around.
100%. You got to be a psychologist sometimes in game. You can get on the BetMGM app and go in game on some of these bets. Okay, so we're going to get to it. I just want to start with something here. Are they good? Are they bad? Let's have a little fun on a Monday to start the show. Steph's got it here. 1, 2, 3. Are they good? And we're going to start with the Bears. The Bears are 5-1. All right. Now, again, that was another example as far as where the money was going late. They go into Carolina, a team that had won two straight and beat them up.
Yeah, I think, look, being really good on defense and bad on offense makes you look like you're not a good team. And especially in a world where the ball is flying up and down the field and people are passing yards like crazy, and when your offense looks pedestrian like the Bears always look, gaining 260 yards, you have a tendency to overreact and think your team's not very good. And yet the Bears are good because their defense is good. They're hard to play defensively. Carolina found that out. Carolina made mistakes. Teddy Bridgewater wasn't good with the football. They had a tough time blocking the front. They had a tough time getting the running game going. They make you play one-dimensional. And they're used to playing in close games. I think this, Patrick, we have four really good defenses in the NFL right now. Four of them. The Bears, the Bucks, the Steelers, and the Ravens. Those four are really good. I think those four teams, and for the Bears, I will say at 5-1, they are good, because to beat them, you have to beat a really good defense if they stay healthy.
Well, that is, you know, it's interesting because the majority of the bets, as you pointed out yesterday, was on the Panthers. Yet we saw that number go from Chicago catching 3 down to 1.5. Again, follow that late money movement. It's not always going to work. I mean, we've monitored it lately and it's worked well. Now, are they good? The Dolphins, they beat a team that hasn't won a game ATS, hasn't won a game straight up in the Jets, obviously. But are the Dolphins a good football team?
I think they're getting better on defense. Their corner situation is much better. Xavier Howard, another interception yesterday. He just blanketed the Jets receiver along with Byron Jones. Their front's playing hard. They play physical. I think the Jets are an 8-8 team. I think the Dolphins are a good team. I don't think they're a great team. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has moments. Even he had them yesterday. Throws two interceptions, one down the red zone. He was not very good yesterday. He had all the earmarks of the Ryan bad, and it could have turned. But the Jets are so inept. And Ryan and Adam Gase is doing exactly what he needs to do, lose games. And he does it well. And he's doing it well. And you can't really handicap the Jets because we know they have internal fighting going on. That's why that line could have been 11. It could have been 12. It could have been 13. You wanted to take that line because they can't get along with themselves. They're not one for all and all for one. Whereas Philly, as that line was growing yesterday, we knew Philly was going to compete and play. We knew Philly would try. Of course, the Eagle fans didn't want the 10 points. They wanted the money line, but that's a whole other situation. But the reality here was, you know, they wanted that, you know, and so there are two different variables when that line gets up. Same thing with the Bengals. They're going to keep competing. I think the Jets know they're bad. I think that the season's over and they can't do anything about it.
Hey, by the way, credit the Eagles because they scored 22 in the fourth to cover our 10 there. So we'll take that.
No doubt. I mean, and you know, once again, we have this phenomenon of going for two. Why, you know, and you run out of 2-point plays. Can I ask you this?
Yes.
You draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. You're a bad team. You're 1-4-1. You're one game over 500 since the Super Bowl. Just for the record, I'm not. For the record, they're one game over 500 since the Super Bowl victory against the Patriots. You spend a second round pick on a luxury item. And then when you have a chance on a nice day like the fall here in Ocean City where you can get your luxury item and take it out for a nice drive, a two-point play to maybe send the game to overtime, he's standing next to you. Like, if there was ever a moment in the game that Jalen Hurts should have been on the field with Carson Wentz, it was at that two-point play. Of course, no one's talking about that here in Philadelphia. Everybody's talking about what a moral victory it was, how far we have dropped, right? We're 1-4-1. They're talking moral victories. They won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. That Super Bowl is going to last them another 10 years.
You know, it's interesting. There's an equivalent. It's like you, when it's a nice day in Ocean City, you take the convertible out, but you pop the top so you can put the sunglasses on. You get the wind. But then they draft Hurts and they don't pop the top. They don't use it.
They don't pop the top. Like, nobody's saying that. Nobody's like, you had Jalen Hurts. Why wasn't he in the game? And actually, Jalen Hurts actually got their offense going because it was a punting convention early in the game. All they kept doing was punt. I mean, Carson Wentz got the living crap beat out of him yesterday. I don't know how he got out of bed this morning.
He did.
I don't know how he got out of bed. It was horrible. And then you've got this luxury item. You're sitting there, and you know, you're not driving the car. Of course, nobody says anything. You know, everybody blames the defense for giving up 30 points here.
Okay, we've got to unpack a little bit here as we welcome you in on a Monday. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Steph's got them. Are they good? Let's say, are they very good? And that is the Titans. They're 5-0. They end up covering the 4. We'll get into what happened with Romeo Crennel there. But the Titans, a short week. They turn around. It's a shootout. They win. Are they very good?
I think the Titans and the Seattle Seahawks are the same team. I think they're the same team. They're really good on offense. They're not any good on defense. Like, they're just not any good on defense. I mean, they're giving up over 5 yards a carry on defense. They don't stop anybody on defense. They don't. They can't. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Clowney, Mr. South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Did he rush at all yesterday? In fact, I asked somebody who was at the game. Was Clowney even there?
Unfortunately, that game wasn't on my league pass. I didn't get to see it. I can't answer that question.
Okay. Of course, he did nothing to impact the game at $15 million. Nothing. The defense of Tennessee is not good. They're not. They have to win with their offense, just like Seattle. Tennessee and Seattle are both very good teams with no defense.
How about this one? The Colts, are they good? They're 4-2. They were down 21-0 in this game. And we have to give credit to Rivers because Rivers, I mean, he was throwing.
Why? Why do we have to? Why do we have to? We said on the show on Sunday morning, we said he'll play good in this game. We said he would. This is exactly the perfect game for him. He can check the runners at first and third. No real pass rush. He can throw those lobs up in the air. Why do we have to give him credit? Like, we should really be mad at them. They should have covered that line. That was a game they should have covered. I don't think they're good. I think their defense is a liability. And I think when they play good offenses, they don't have enough inventory of defense to really slow you down.
That is betting bitterness from Michael Lombardi. They didn't cover the number. The 31-27 win. I think you're probably right there. By the way, Burrow is going to be a hell of a player. I mean,
if they can keep him alive, can we protect him a little bit, please?
I know. It really is unbelievable. Okay, last one. Are they good? Then we're going to switch to, are they bad? How about the 49ers are 3-3?
I don't think they're good. I think they caught the Rams at the right time. I think they did a great job game planning against them. I think Kyle Shanahan was really good at what they do. I just don't know how good they are on defense. And I think last night the pressure, for some reason, like I said in the start of the show, Goff gets nervous. He gets really uncomfortable and he starts playing faster. And when you get him to play faster, the Rams will score 16 points.
How about this? Steph brings it up. It's a great point. Are they bad? She wants to know, are the Rams bad? They lost yesterday. And it is, they're a deceiving team. They're an interesting team. They're so efficient at times on offense, and then sometimes they confuse you a little bit. They're 4-2, the Rams.
Right. And I said all week that the Rams were the number one power ranked team on my numbers. But, and this is a big but, all their numbers were assembled through dominating the NFC East. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had to throw that out the window. My numbers are just not right on the game. My visual, I thought the Rams could beat them because of my visual, the tape, and the Niners weren't playing good on defense. But that game was eye-opening to me in the sense that I didn't see the Rams, specifically Jared Goff, make the plays they needed to do. And when they got behind defensively, you know, they neutralized Aaron Donald, and there was nothing left. Look, here's the reality of the Rams. they are on a very thin sheet of ice. If they lose any players, they are going to collapse and fall into the water.
Yep. How about this one? The Browns, the question, what happens if they can't run the ball, was answered yesterday. They get pummeled 38-7. Baker's not going to bail them out. They couldn't run, and the Steelers, just that front seven of the Steelers is special. 38-7 win for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a bad matchup. We said it all week. We said, hey, look, we didn't care where the Prevalone was moving this number two from 5.5 down to 3. It's a bad matchup. When you can't run the ball and you're the Cleveland Browns and you need to run the ball, Baker Mayfield is not a one-size-fits-all quarterback. He needs to be in the right system, the right scheme, and he needs to be able to have a running game with his bootlegs and his nakeds to get outside the pocket. Once they took that away from him, it was over. And it was over quickly. I mean, that game was over quickly. And they had a pool Baker. He took a beating in that game. It's just not a good matchup for them. They've got to figure out a way to get more of a drop-back pass game. But right now, Baker, they rushed him really good inside. Baker couldn't see, and he couldn't make a throw.
Okay, take a deep breath on this one. I've got 2-2-3 teams. Which one's the better team, the Broncos or the Patriots?
Well, yesterday it was clear the Broncos were the better team. But look, I think you've got to cue up the Allen Iverson graph. Practice, they needed practice. I mean, they really needed practice. I mean, let's be real honest. Anybody who watched that game, and I did closely, they need practice. They were not good at all offensively. And then when they started maneuvering their offensive line around, so we knew this. Shaq Mason went on the COVID list, okay, the right guard. So then they had and David Andrews is still hurt. So Tooney played left center. They put a new, they moved the Michigan kid over to right guard. They put the, Luminor was at right tackle. He gets hurt early in the game. They got the rookie from Virginia Tech over at left tackle. All of a sudden, this offensive line is a mess, much like the Eagle offensive line. And Newton had no time to throw the ball, and he wasn't very good yesterday. No one on the Patriots team, offense, defense, kicking game. They did not practice in 2 weeks, and it looked like it.
Yeah, some odd coaching from, you know, it's almost hard to question Bill at this point, but some questionable coaching part of me. And then Edelman looks like he's lost a step. I think that's fair. And the skill position isn't necessarily where they need it to be. But it feels like they're attempting passes with Edelman because they just need to do something differently to open up that offense, you know?
I think they lack explosiveness. I mean, when Ryan Izzo is the best tight end on the team and you can't replace him, something's wrong with me. I mean, something's wrong, right? Ryan Izzo should not be a starting tight end in the National Football League. He just shouldn't.
No.
You know, and he catches a deep ball over the middle and it gets stripped from him. I mean, he's a complimentary player that's starting. So their talent level in the skill areas is not very good. And when they don't practice and they don't put all together, it did not look good. You can't deny it yesterday.
Flash the provolone there, Steph, because that was another one. The Broncos... open catching 10. By the time that game kicked off, it was 7.5. So again, the late money on the Broncos there.
I didn't even think that line, we said on the air, I didn't think that line was right at 7.5. Now it proved to be, you know, look, let's face it. Let's be real honest. I mean, that was the earmarks. If the Patriots come down and make one or two plays on the final drive, they could have walked out there with a 19-18 win.
100%. There it is. 18-12 Broncos. Go to New England. New England was dealing with a ton. I think that's, you know what? That's why maybe we should back up a little bit and give Vrabel and the Titans some credit at 5-0. They've been dealing with a ton of crap too, and they've managed it also on a short week this week.
Right, but I think that the key to what they do is they're not good on defense. You can move the ball on them. Everybody will move the ball on them, much like everybody moves the ball in Seattle. But this offense and the way Arthur Smith calls plays and the way he's designed this offense around who they really are. And, I mean, Taylor Lewan went out early in the game. He may have an ACL. This offensive line is not a great O-line. They can run block well. Their scheme is really good. But if they ever get to a drop-back pass game, that's not what they do well. And they've got Ryan Tannehill playing at such a high level, a level I didn't think he was capable of playing when he was in Miami. I thought in Miami, when he had to play faster, it became a problem. And the way the Titans call plays, the way the Titans run their offense, they don't ask him to play fast. He plays under control all the time. His athleticism shows up. He makes plays with his feet. And look, they got the big boy back there. I mean, and that was the first game he really took over and was able to make plays in terms of the run game. They give up, Patrick. Look, let's face it. The Titans give up over 5 yards a carry to their opponents.
I think they should sign Clowney, and as soon as he gets there to Tennessee, that defense is going
to be much better. The greatest player in the history of football. He's the greatest player of all. They have a pass rush now. He's the greatest player. Don't even worry about it. Don't even watch it anymore. They've got the greatest pass rusher in America. There should be a parade down Bluefield Avenue for him.
Nobody's brave enough to tell you this, but you're annoying, Lombardi. With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM. Well, Millie's brave enough to tell you. BetMGM Sports, premier sports betting app. MGM has all your favorite wagering options. You can go in-game, boosted odds, specials, and much more. All you got to do is download it. It's the BetMGM app. Bring your state-issued ID as well to any MGM casino on the Strip, and you can open an account and bet anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. Plus, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, I saved for this next segment, I want to spend a whole segment on the Bucks and the Packers, okay? Because what we
look forward to, Patrick.
Yeah,
I'll try not to be annoying to upset you,
no,
but
I'm
look
just
forward
saying,
to it tremendous.
I will behave
myself in the next segment. I'm going to go watch some more tape on Clowney, rush that passer, and stop the passing game of whoever he plays against. Put that cape on Clowney.
I'll send you some Gamecock tape of Clowney. You'll be blown away.
No, he was good there now. He was good there. I don't deny that.
We continue. It's the Lombardi Line. So I got a text from a friend yesterday in Michigan. He got his butt kicked betting yesterday. And I said, how much did you lose? He lost a lot. For $129, you can make it up, because that's what you need to invest in expert guidance here at VSiN. You get our weekly digital betting guide. You get access to 24/7 live video. Plus, if you don't want to do the work, we send you a daily email with the best bets, breaking news, advanced stats. You can follow the line movement that we discuss incessantly here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN.com. Give yourself an edge. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, Michael, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. I want to get into this Packers Bucks. It came down to that pick six from Rodgers, and that completely flipped the game, right? It felt like early on the Packers are in control here, and they end up getting beat 38-10. They were laying 2.5 on the road at the Bucks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think this was one of those games where one play kind of ignited the Bucks. But let's face it, the Bucks defense with Todd Bowles has been playing outstanding. We said during the show yesterday, Carlton Davis needed to play. We thought that was important. Dean, the other corner from Auburn, who they also have on the Tampa Bay Bucks, was sensational. He's the first interception. And I think the pressure started to get to him. I think the pressure, the offensive line of the Packers didn't play to the same level. They wore them down. We talked about the heat, humidity. It really didn't play a factor because the game was over by halftime. I mean, Joe Buck could have got on an airplane and flown and done the Dodger game and laid it out and would have made it in time for Fox. So, yeah, this was over with. I didn't think the Bucks were great offensively. I think they eventually became good. They wore down. They were able to run the football late in the game as the Packers got tired. But again, I think this Bucks defense is the signature of their team. Everybody talks about their offensive weaponry, but it's the defense that's a real problem.
Yeah, we were just talking about it in studio. You know, that defense was number one against the run. They couldn't defend the pass last year. Got a couple extra weapons, and you see what Bowles can do. You've always liked Bowles as a DC. I'm sure he's going to get another HC job as well. But the defense, you know, as long as you continue to gel offensively, and Brady wasn't great. He had two nice touchdown passes. Outside of that, Michael, it's not like they went crazy. Jones popped a little bit, but the defense continues to carry this Bucks team.
I think they really missed the boat. If they would have gotten Le'Veon Bell, he's better than McCoy. I think that they're trying to make McCoy into something that McCoy's done.
Yes.
McCoy can't do it. And I think this lack of third down running back is going to cost the Bucks at some point. And I think that's going to be the biggest issue. But their defense is good. Look, it's hard to run the football. Aaron Jones had 10 carries for 15 yards in the game yesterday. You know, once he doesn't get going, it's a challenge. And so you got to give the Bucks credit. I mean, they're a well-rounded team. You know, Mike Evans, if you'd have told me before the game Mike Evans is going to have one catch for 10 yards against the Packers, I said, well, they probably got killed. And yet that's what he had. and they controlled the pace of the game, and that offensive line really played well, and I thought they did a good job of attacking the edges. One thing about the Packers now, when you look at Mike Pettine's defense, he's always struggled with run force. He's always struggled with containing running games, especially when you move and motion the run force around, and yesterday that's what happened in the second half.
Yeah, Jones, 113 yards on the ground. Vaughn with 42 yards on the ground. You're 100% right. So from a Packers perspective and a better moving forward, an anomaly? Throw it out, or is there something to be concerned about here?
You know what I said on my podcast this morning with Adnan? I said, you know, if I were a Packer fan, I would be a little bit concerned, a little Columbo-ish. Is what bothers me is when LaFleur goes against really good coaches, his protections break down. And that bothers me. Now, look, not a lot of guys, you know, there's not a lot of great coaches in the NFL. I know that people don't, I find that hard to believe. But in terms of chess masters, in terms of the Malcolm Carlsons, the guys that really understand how to maneuver things around and how to adjust during the game, Bowles is one of those guys. I think that like last 2 years ago, I make a point about this when Martindale played against Tennessee, when LaFleur was there, LaFleur was 0-for-10 on third down against Martindale. You know, when you go against these good coordinators that know how to attack you, you've got to be able to handle it. And I think ultimately that's the test for LaFleur. I think LaFleur's done a good job. He's certainly a candidate for coach of the year with what he's been able to do. But that game just really bothered me in the sense that there wasn't more on what they wanted to do offensively, even though they threw the two interceptions. I mean, they're still, it's 14-10. They're right there.
Michael Lombardi teaching humility courses today. He said the Bears are good. And he's saying that Matt LaFleur, potentially coach of the year. By the way, did you know the 85 Bears were in Jacksonville yesterday based on my text messages from one Will Hill, which were, I think I received 1,000 texts. He was just telling me how
good thing
great
you have the unlimited plan. If you're going to be friends with Will Hill, you have to be on the unlimited plan. There's no way you could ever do it without the unlimited plan.
I've never met him. I'm convinced he's a 13-year-old TikTok star. He's on that phone more than I'm going to say it. He's annoying me because he's writing me how great the Lions are. I've lived this for 42 years, bro. Yeah. It's not good.
And he's so mad at the Houston Texans for not covering. And he has every right to be. He has every right
Houston?
To be.
Houston? Okay, I got to ask you about Romeo's decision. But when we come back, he's here, baby. Prevalone, Mr. Market Insights, Josh Applebaum joins us here on the Lombardi Line. It's a Monday edition right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Indeed.com studio at South Point Casino. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Also, Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com. Use the promo code VSIN20. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Keys-Michael. Here comes Josh. And today was a banner day for Josh Applebaum. Of course, Market Insights dropped 34 minutes ago. That's Monday through Friday. He's an esteemed author. And I will say, the daily newsletter, which comes out every single morning, it's free. You just enter your email address. Today was a really, all kidding aside, today was a great day for you because it really illustrated well what happened in yesterday on a Sunday. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Yeah, and definitely sign up for the VSiN newsletter. It's free, VSiN.com/newsletter. But yeah, guys, we talk about this all the time, and I think, you know, we joke around it, Prevalone. It was a great day, though. Yeah, Prevalone. We got to make sure it's the Prevalone. But what I like here, guys, you know, again, yesterday was a banner day in terms of a lot of things that we try to look for in terms of value. Underdogs, reverse line move plays, heavily bet games, lopsided games where the line is moving toward the unpopular team like we saw with San Francisco. But it was the best day of the year just from a high level standpoint for dogs. Dogs went 8-4 ATS, five straight up winners here. The other crazy thing is these totals. You know, we started the season, the first 4 weeks of the season, where really overs were hitting at a ridiculous rate, 60%. All these games are going over. Yesterday was also not just the best day for dogs, but the best day for unders. Unders went 8-4. We remember we talked about when will the regression take place, where overs will start to come back down to earth and unders will, you know, come back here. Over the last 2 weeks, the regression has hit 15-9. 9 to the under the last 2 weeks. And we talk about the Prevalone. And, you know, one thing I look at, guys, is when a team opens with a 3-point spread, where does the line move from there? Because two examples with Chicago yesterday, that was Carolina minus 3 at home. We saw that line fall toward Chicago. That checked off a box. We saw also with the Washington football team, the Giants around 3.5 or 3. Felt moved toward Washington. Also in that heavily bet game with the Rams and San Fran, that was a Rams 3.5, 3 down towards San Fran. But Mike Lombardi, we got to admit, the Prevalone did not get the Steelers game. They didn't get the Steelers game, so we got to admit, you called that one. So Michael, you beat the Prevalone with the Steelers.
Yeah, well, we did that one, and you were right on the 49er game, because I think when you break this down, I think you're right. I think the Sunday action is really critical. I think we have to look at the noise during the week, pay not attention to it. But today, Josh, like, let's talk about Kansas City Buffalo. This line opens at 3.5, and it's now at 5.5. And there's a ton of action coming in on Buffalo, and there's a lot of steam coming in on Kansas City. So it seems, I know you were on Buffalo early, but I wonder where, if the is your position changing, because there is a lot of movement towards Kansas City.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Michael. So kind of going into tonight, obviously doubleheader here, Monday Night Football, great for bettors, back-to-back games, but both teams 4-1, both teams 3-2 ATS. Both teams coming off a loss. So, you know, KC lost to Vegas. We actually talked about that last game, Vegas 10.5, having some value. You also have Buffalo off that big loss to Tennessee, 42-16, straight up. The way I see this, guys, when this line opened, it was Kansas City Chiefs -3.5, -3. You immediately had some smart money hit the Chiefs at that kind of low number. But the way I look at it now, you have a heavy public betting spot here toward Kansas City with that early money on Kansas City. But at this point, you got to ask yourself, if you're laying a 5.5 with the Chiefs, you're getting a bad number after this line has moved. To me, all the value on the Chiefs was early when it was 3, 3.5. Now that it's up to 5.5, I got to be honest with you guys, the Bills are very, very enticing. This would be kind of an inflated line opportunity. This reminds me a little bit about that Eagles game last night, where maybe you had early money hitting Baltimore, but now at this point, you're getting an inflated line with the Bills, contrarian in a heavily bet game. And also a team coming off a blowout loss. This is something we talk about a lot. The public remembers the Bills getting lit up on Thursday night in prime time, so they're kind of off them a little bit. But you remember with the San Francisco 49ers, they were also off a 20-point loss. And teams off a blowout loss the next week, they're about 54% against the spread. So to me, it was, if you hit the Chiefs early, -3, -3.5, you're going to beat the closing line. You're just going to ride that out. But at this point now with Buffalo, to me, the 5.5 is really a value play with an inflated line, a team off a bad loss. But Michael Lombardi, what's your cap on this game? I think the public says Mahomes off a loss, they're going to roll tonight no matter what and bounce back. But what do you make of the Bills at home? They won't have that home crowd, but they're getting points with an inflated line in a contrarian spot.
You know, I had this line as a 4.5, almost a 5-point line. I had it at a 5.1 line when it opened up, and it opened up at 3.5, and I could see why everybody jumped on it. Now it's at 5.5, so it certainly swings back towards the Bills. But I think there's a reason this line's moving. I don't think it's just public money. I mean, it's the same thing we saw with the Browns line. You know, we saw the Browns line move towards them. I think this situation is a hard one for Buffalo because they're corners. I mean, we saw a Rams team. Do we think the Rams are good? We saw the Rams team come back from a 35 to come back. I don't know what the deficit was, but they went right down the field, up and down the field, and scored on them. I think the Chiefs are a better team than the Rams. I think they've got to play much better defensively. I still like the Chiefs here, Josh. I think that there is something about Buffalo because they're not healthy. Milano, the two corners, John Brown's questionable with the knee. There's a lot of injuries on Buffalo's teams right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Michael. And I think, you know, Patrick, going to this next game here, the 8 o'clock game, what I will say the distinction to me is that Buffalo, I wouldn't call a sharp play. To me, Buffalo is more of a value play just in terms of a contrarian inflated line. But I think you have a very clear sharp play here toward the Dallas Cowboys tonight. So you look at this game. It's going to be the most heavily bet game of the night. Early in the week, you know, this was a big public play toward Arizona. I think you can take advantage of a Cowboys team that, number one, they're 0-5 ATS, America's team, but they haven't covered a single number all season long. Public, you know, doesn't want to touch them. You can also buy low on bad news with Dak Prescott out, and you have Andy Dalton in there now. So I like kind of the buy low situation with Dallas. But to me, guys, this is all about the line move. right now it's pretty much an even ticket split after it was public most of the week with Arizona. But just look at the way this line has moved. This is undeniable sharp action to Dallas, respected money. Arizona opened at about a 3-point favorite on the road. We've now seen this line go all the way through the zero. It's now Cowboys minus one. Obviously, you're not getting a great number at this one. But to me, the distinction here is line's always been moving toward the Cowboys from the start. You would have loved to grab a plus three. You're late to the party now. Maybe you're looking more money line Cowboys. But Michael Lombardi, what's your take in this
one? Hold off on that. Hold off on that, because I want to come back. That's a great point. We should have like a through zero alert, because yesterday we sat here, the Cardinals were a point favorite. Now we've gone through zero, which is important in betting, and now the Cowboys. Michael, I want to, it's a tremendous setup. I want to hold off quickly, Michael. The total in that Bills game tonight opened somewhere around 56, got bet down to 54.5, up a little bit. It's a primetime game, so you expect a high total, 55. Do you have a lean in 30 seconds, Chiefs Bills total?
You know, I think the way they're calling penalties now, I mean, the Baltimore, that line, I mean, the Eagles covered in that game because of penalties.
Yep.
They were called and holding left and right, and now they're back to calling. We have a normal NFL. That's what leans me towards the under tonight.
Well put. Okay, let's come back with Cardinals Cowboys with Josh Applebaum and Michael Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM on a Monday. Of course, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you missed anything, it's easy. Go to VSiN.com. Every game means something more at BetMGM Sports. You place a $1 wager tonight, Arizona, Dallas, either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $100. Just sign up, make your first bet. VSiN 100 is the code. Take advantage of this offer. It's the king of sports books. That's BetMGM. Again, touchdown, Arizona, Dallas, you're going to win $100. Just have to use the promo code VSiN 100. Sign up at BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We do welcome you back. I want to get, we're going to set you up on the World Series as well. We've got the two Monday night games. Quickly, Michael, before I go back to Josh to set you up for the Cowboys and Cardinals, imagine being a Vikings fan. We know one in Will Hill. The Falcons get that new coach bounce, 40-23 win in Minnesota. But here's what's fascinating. Cousins throws three picks. Okay. But think about Minnesota should have beaten Tennessee at home, and then they should have won that game last Sunday night where they really controlled the game, and it almost felt like a dispirited team coming back to Minnesota and just never were in the game against the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the last time, you know, they went for two to put the game away, that didn't work. Romeo went for two, that didn't work. At some point, we keep in track here, you know, going for two to end the game, supposed to win the game for you. It hasn't worked for either team.
Yep.
And now Minnesota's 1-5, and they've got some cap issues next year. They'll try to trade. Will they try to trade Kyle Rudolph at the trading deadline? Will they try to dump some of this money that they're currently on their team to fill up, to get some room next year? I think there's a lot of teams right now after 6 weeks that are positioned to say, where are we going? Atlanta's one of them. Atlanta has a disastrous cap for going into next season. Disastrous. They need to dump assets. I know they're all happy they beat Minnesota, but they should be unhappy because they should be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes and try to unload some talent that they can get rid of and get some compensation back. So, you know, the Vikings, I don't know how good the Vikings defensively, they had Danzler was hurt. Like, once again, I think this is another game, Patrick, where you got to handicap the injuries, because the Vikings going into this game were not healthy.
Right.
And the little bit of player that they did have, they got hurt as well. Danzler's a rookie corner. He got hurt before the week. So it was really a tough one. And Julio played. Now he's hurt again.
The late game on Monday night, Arizona, Dallas, before we set the number up. And remember, this is fascinating line movement here. Dallas is a publicly bet team. Arizona very much isn't. However, Kyler Murray is a publicly bet player. Obviously, the head coach as well. Before we get to it, Michael, first you, do you prefer the doubleheader Monday and no Thursday, or one game Monday and one game Thursday?
I like the Thursday, but I also like the Tuesday. I like football 7 days a week. Okay. If you can get it, why not?
You just know? Cheated. No, that mean, wasn't you know, the question. Like, that was cheating.
You know, it's like you're asking me when I go around the corner here to Ward's Bakery, am I going to have the fried cinnamon bun or am I going for the jelly donut? I want them all. You know, I want it all. You know, I mean, I don't want to, Mr. Ward, I don't even want to go in there. I drive by it and the smell kills me. So I like it all. Yeah. And all fat guys like it all.
Okay, 365, 7 days a week. Don't call yourself fat. How about you, Josh? You like the two Monday?
Oh, man, when we have the doubleheader, I love it. But give me a Thursday night game because last week we didn't have it, and it was great. I love the Tuesday as well. But, yeah, let's get creative with the scheduling. More NFL games throughout the week are great, but I miss the Thursday when it's not there, Patrick.
Okay, Arizona-Dallas. Okay, so fascinating. We were sitting here yesterday, Josh, set it up, and we'll get Michael's cap. Arizona was a point-and-a-half favorite. We've gone through zero. Dallas is now sitting a point favorite at minus 110.
Yeah, so Patrick, the distinction between these two games is KC was always the favorite in the early game, and they become more of a favorite. With this later game here, this is a complete flip. So we saw the Cardinals open as a 3-point favorite on the road. Tickets are split. You know, early on, it was a kind of a big public play to Cardinals. It's been evening out as we get closer to game time. But this line is completely flipped to where Cardinals were -3. Now it's all the way to Dallas -1. So to me, this is kind of a lot about public perception. You know, both teams are coming off a win. Dallas didn't cover the spread, though, even though they beat the Giants 37-34 last week. Arizona blew out the Jets, but everyone blows out the Jets pretty much. But to me, this is really a true sharp play to Dallas in terms of when you see kind of a split ticket count, a line really shouldn't move at all. So the fact that this line is moving so far to Dallas, it tells me that it's really respected money kind of pushing this number. Also like the idea of kind of a grabbing a bad ATS team against a good ATS team, because even though Dallas is kind of a public team, just generally speaking, they're 0-5 ATS. They haven't covered a single number, whereas Arizona is 3-2 ATS. So, Patrick, when we talk like buying low unranked team versus ranked teams in college football, this is a similar sort of thing where backing bad ATS teams versus good ATS teams, you take advantage of public bias and kind of take advantage of inflated lines sometimes. But Michael Lombardi, what do you think here is causing this move toward Dallas? I think the public still thinks Andy Dalton with no Dak, I don't want to touch the Cowboys, but yet undisputed line move to Dallas. Do you like them tonight?
I do. I like them a lot. And I think when you break down this Arizona defense, they're not very good. Patrick Peterson, you know, he came out in 2011. He's not the same corner. He doesn't cover anywhere near he did when he was a young player. He struggles to cover. Brian Murphy, their second round pick from last year at the University of Washington, they don't have anybody who covers back there. Buda Baker's a really nice player. Drake Kirkpatrick actually starts for them. Think about that. Drake Kirkpatrick, who was in Cincinnati last year, can't get a job. Tall corner, holds corner quite a bit. I think you could attack this team through the air. I think Andy Dalton will have success. And now that they've lost their best pass rusher in Chandler Jones, where are they going to generate some pressure? Last year, they were one of the worst teams defensively in the National Football League. They signed Jordan Phillips. They signed Jordan Hicks. They signed Devon Kennard to help their defense to go along with it. Now all of a sudden they're starting to lose players. I think the Cowboys will move the ball, and I think they can rush the passer. Look, here's the key. You've got to make small quarterbacks play small, and that's what Carolina did against them. That's what Detroit did against them. You rush from inside, force him to throw the ball outside the numbers, see if they can make a living.
I'm shocked this number. I think the Cowboys should be a field goal favorite, 3. I mean, the 2-2, the Cardinals last 4. They beat Washington and they beat the Jets, Michael. They're going to be without Chandler Jones, who is their best defensive player. You talk about it all the time. I just don't think it's a very good team. I'm a little surprised. You're going to get a bounce.
You're
going to get a bounce with the Cowboys tonight, I believe.
I think you're going to get a lot of uplift with the Cowboys. I think you're going to see Zeke play. And this defense is a good recipe for Andy Dalton. It's not going to be complex. He'll know what to do. And they can get their game going. I mean, who's going to cover CeeDee Lamb in this game? Not Buda Baker. He's a good player, but he's not covering him. I mean, Kirkpatrick's not going to cover him. I mean, so they've got matchups across the board that really work to their advantage. And Jordan Phillips has got an illness. He's questionable for the game. He's their inside run stuffer. Who's going to play in the run game? I think this is a real challenge. Isaiah Simmons has yet to show that pass rushing skills, that dominant athleticism for the Arizona defense yet.
Yeah, I think Dalton's going to be comfortable. I think I love the Cowboys. Now, the over is 4-0 in the Cowboys' last 4 games overall. Michael, I'll stick with you on this. The total right now on this one is it's moved up from 52 to 55. Now, we can talk about the penalties again, but one thing you just mentioned, Zeke. Will they take a step back more than 12 rushes per tonight for Zeke, and maybe that total stays under?
I think what Kyle Shanahan did last night is the same recipe that the Cowboys have to use. Play your defense on the field 26 minutes. When you have liability at defense, you can't let them play a full game. You got to cut down 5 minutes somewhere. You got to pick up 5 minutes somewhere in the game. And I think that's what they need to do. And you pick up 5 minutes by controlling the clock, by working the game and doing that. Look, yesterday, the Washington football team controlled that game all the way. The Giants were 64%, Patrick, on third down in the game. And yet they only had the ball 26 minutes. That's because they couldn't get the ball back. They couldn't get it back because the Giants' defense was just as bad on third down. This is a game you've got to really do a good job of controlling the pace of the game, keep your defense off the field, and force Murray to become a little bit desperate, throw the ball outside. I like the matchup for the Cowboys.
Josh Applebaum, before we transition quickly to the World Series, I have a question for you. I'm forecasting tonight, Kansas City at Buffalo. It's 5.5 right now with Kansas City laying it. Can I get a 6 with Buffalo?
Great question, Patrick, because that's what I've been holding out for. You know, again, at this point, you're looking at key numbers because we saw it, you know, rise 3, 3.5 up to 5.5. You're kind of walking the tightrope here, and I think a good thing would be to really laser focus on the juice. Do you see the juice start to trend one way or the other? Because I'm with you, Patrick. Buffalo plus 6, that's really good value, even though you're a little bit worried, like Michael mentioned. It's not just public. You had early respected money on KC as well. So to me, every book I'm looking at is like minus 110 both sides, so I don't think you're seeing anything at this point. If you like Buffalo, there's no reason to bet them now, because what you should do is stay glued to your VSiN Live odds page if you start to see the juice move toward Buffalo waited out. But also, Patrick, this may come back down to 5. We've seen it rise so much that I think you're naturally going to see a little buyback, maybe closer to game time on Buffalo. So in that case, if you see it start to creep back down to 5, maybe that's when you want to jump on the Bills with the 5.5 in the hook.
So Michael, your plays would be Dallas laying the point in Kansas City. You had them right around 5, 5.2, right? Favorite?
Yeah. You know, it would be, I mean, I took them in the pool because I mean, in the circa, I use the lines in the circa for when I give out my picks, and it's 3.5. I think the value at 3.5 is too good. I think right there at 5.5, it's problematic. So, you know, it's right there where my line is. I would typically walk away from this game, but not the other one. I'm all over Dallas and the other one based on my power rankings.
Hey, that's great advice. Sometimes, even though there's 2 primetime games, you don't have to bet both of them, although I'm a degenerate and I will. Quickly, that's just an issue. I'm single. It's a whole story. The World Series, the Dodgers, that's a pretty big favorite. You know, Bellinger with the go-ahead bomb last night to win in a game 7. There was a great game. The Dodgers opened 193 at BetMGM, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're seeing here, Dodgers minus 193 to win this series, win the World Series. Obviously, you got Tampa Bay plus 160. Dodgers with their implied probability, 66% that they're expected to win this series. You know, the Rays, to me, plus 160 are a little intriguing. You know, I think with this, what we're seeing now, and we're seeing the game one opener here, it may be Kershaw, it may not. We don't have the openers yet. But a lot of these books are opening game one, Dodgers around minus 160-ish. So I think you're going to probably have a lot of value here on Tampa Bay throughout the series. But you know what, Michael Lombardi, we don't often get a chance to congratulate our guy, Patrick Maher. And let me just say, Patrick is one of my favorite people in the world, one of the sharpest guys I know. And Michael, you know what Patrick did? He got down pretty big on the Dodgers, plus 190 when they were down 0-2 to the Braves. And our guy, Patrick Maher, he's not one to brag, but he cashed a huge series price on the Dodgers.
Nice. It was a great value. You're smart, right? I mean, when they were down 2-0, I asked that last week when you were on vacation. I asked it, and you know, you probably listened to the show while you were lounging at your massage. That was an awesome way to go. I appreciate it. It's great.
I'll Venmo you the cash for the compliment, Josh. Great job. Everything Guide to Sports Betting is the book. Gridiron Genius is the book. Michael, have a great, enjoy the games tonight, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay,
talk
Josh.
Talk soon.
Enjoy
Bye-bye.
The games, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Steph, thank you. And thank you. JVT and The Edge coming up next. We'll talk to you next time here on The Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.